Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta get to the top. All we know is go. Never gonna see a stop.
I'm doing my thing. Switching my lane. Fine. Put on the gas. Accelerator.
Do what else to go. Gotta get to the top. All we know is go. Never gonna see a stop.
I'm doing my thing. Switching my lane. Put on the gas. Accelerator.
Wait for the cue. Wait. Hold position. This a victory lap. We in pole position. Retire after this race. I got no intentions. Make a run at the crown. You in no position. You laps behind. I'm a mastermind. How you craft your rhyme can't be compared to mine. We in cruise control.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back. This is Real Talk Radio with your host, Kimberly Sherrell. And you know what? I might be America's favorite Southern Belle. Thank you so much for joining me after such a long, long, long break. But you know how it is, how to enjoy the holidays, didn't want to disrupt anything, make sure my baby get all of the attention that he needed for his Christmas in Kentucky. Now I am back, so Happy New Year. I hope 2013 is treating you well. I must admit that I am on a complete high tonight, like I'm having to hold on to the chair to keep from bouncing around, because I have been looking forward to this interview since it was booked a couple weeks ago, the other week, not exactly sure when it was, because I'm just too all over the place. I'm so excited. None other than Justin A. Moore will be joining me very soon. You may have seen him on the hit reality TV show Mary Mary. He is none other than celebrity stylist Goo Goo Atkins' boyfriend, Justin. So excited. Cannot wait to talk to him. But let's do a little housekeeping things first. Many things have happened since the last time I was on the air. So many things. Just going to do a quick run through. Bethany Frankel's divorce, you know, Kim Kardashian and her mom, the little feud. Oh, my baby will not be on TV. Like, we really believe that. Blue Ivy celebrated a birthday. Loving it, loving it. And, of course, we had to say goodbye to Ray Lewis. Oh, his last game on the Baltimore field, it was so bittersweet. Love me some Ray Lewis. I like to call him Ray Ray. Don't ask me why I nickname people like we really are friends, but I do that. So I'm definitely going to miss Ray Ray next season. I definitely hope he can go out with a bang. Funny thing to me, because, you know, I love to giggle. Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda Kotb, they're giving up alcohol for 30 days. This is hilarious. Because, number one, I don't know anyone else who is drinking glasses, or should I say bottles of wine, on air early in the morning but those two. And giving it up seems to be quite comical because they are only on day 10, and I'm not sure they're going to make it. So, I don't know, my mornings are so much brighter. Of course, Michael Strahan made, you know, my complete century when he joined Kelly Ripa on Live, and now they're giving them alcohol, so I'm just so amused. The last little headline I want to talk about, Monte Teo, the Notre Dame player who was apparently the victim of a cruel, cruel joke, thinking that he was actually dating someone and she didn't exist. I still don't think that we've heard the whole story on this. I don't know. I don't know any man that will just have a complete telephone, email, text relationship. I mean, I'm wondering, did they Skype at some point and they had whoever this person was playing a joke on him? Did they Skype as well, FaceTime? I don't know. I don't know any man that really will have a complete phone, text, email relationship. I don't know one. So I'm definitely going to keep track of this story a little bit because, of course, you know, ESPN's, you know, correspondents, they are so freaking hilarious. I'm just waiting to see what Stephen A. will have to talk about it tomorrow. Those of you who are just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio with your host, Kay Sherrell. And after this quick break, Justin A. Moore, musician, producer, gentleman will be joining me live on the air in a matter of minutes. So right now, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Wet Whispers is book two in the book poetry series by poetess Kimberly Sherrell. Wet Whispers is about being honest about your emotions and speaking up. Too often in life, we allow others to mute our unique voice and speak for us. A mute individual will never be a truly happy individual. Wet Whispers is a book of hope. Hope that regardless of the situation, if you start being emotionally honest with yourself and others, your situation can change. However, in order for this positive change you seek to take place, you must be heard. This is what Wet Whispers is all about, being heard. Start your journey today. Purchase a copy of Wet Whispers. Wet Whispers is available on Amazon.com and SherrellInc.com. That's SherrellInc.com. Book one of this series is also available.
I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me, I'm talking about I, I'm talking about we, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about bad, I'm talking about big, I'm talking about way, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about me, I'm talking about I, I'm talking about we, I'm talking about you, I'm talking about.
Now, I'm talking about Justin A. Moore. Justin is now live on the air with us. Hello.
Hello. What's going on?
Nothing much. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you doing?
I am extra hyper. So hyper.
Right?
Very hyper.
Why is that?
Say what?
I said, why is that?
One, because I'm back on the air. I've missed my show. Like, you have no idea how much I've missed it. Two, I go to Zumba every Tuesday and Thursday, so I'm literally running from Zumba to the shower to the studio to do the radio show, so I got all them endorphins, you know, pumping through my veins. But the main reason for the extra hyperness tonight is you, Justin, because I've been excited.
I feel honored.
I'm loving it. And I just want to tell everyone listening, Justin is not all Hollywood. You know, you will see that from the interview. He is not Hollywood at all. He home folks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Justin, where are you from?
I'm from Douglas, Georgia, 912, which most people probably have never heard of. It's like, you know, well, Valdosta State. You know what Valdosta State is, of course, Kimberly, because we talked about this, but it's about, you know, 45 minutes to 50 minutes northwest, I believe, of Valdosta. Valdosta State University in the building.
Coffee County, right?
Yep, Coffee County. That's it.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Douglas. I've been there a few times, and it's so unfortunate that you're a Blazer, because everyone knows that Albany State is completely the university.
Well, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but that's cool. But I mean, we're Division II national champions, 2012. We won again, and we won back in 2007 when I was there. So, you know, I don't recall a time where Albany State won any Division II national championships. But if you
they're
can think of any, you can let me know.
They're not a Division II. They're not. I'm sorry. Did you pass on? I'm sorry. You had to pass on when you went there.
What division are y'all in?
Look here. See, now you're getting off subject because you don't even
Let's keep the interview going. Let's not get off subject because that's all cool back because I win that battle.
We're about to box on the air. Let's go back to the interview. So, Justin, you're from Douglas, I read in your bio that there was a moment when you actually played at Carnegie Hall.
Yes, I did. I played at Carnegie Hall when I was like 14 years old, actually. I was in eighth grade, in my eighth grade band, you know, we got an opportunity to perform at Carnegie Hall, which was awesome. You know, at the time, I didn't really realize how big a deal Carnegie Hall was. You know, you kind of just, you're like, oh, okay, Carnegie Hall is cool, it's fun. You're 14 years old, you go with all your friends, you're in eighth grade, it's cool. But later on in life, when I realized how prestigious Carnegie Hall was and the great icons and legends that had performed there, you know, I felt honored that I had done it, you know, before I was even, you know, old enough to drive. So it was definitely a lot of fun, and it was definitely, you know, a great experience.
Yes, I can imagine. It was, what instrument were you playing then?
At the time, I was playing saxophone. That's what I started on, saxophone, and fifth grade, and played all the way throughout school until, you know, I got to high school and was in marching band, you know, so.
Oh, wow. So that's another reason why you and I always bought the box or whatever, because, you know, I played trombone, like, really.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's. Trombone seems kind of boring, but it's cool. Y'all have no buttons, no anything. You just got a long slide that you just move up and down. You know, but
and
it's cool.
Have,
that's
yeah, you know what? You're right. It is easy because you move.
Everybody
up,
knows saxophone is the sexiest instrument. Everybody knows saxophone is the sexiest instrument.
I'm sorry. Is your band director in the Musical Hall of Fame and internationally known? No. So.
Okay, here we go.
Moving on. See, I've been waiting to fight with him all week on air, people. You have no idea. So when did you start playing baseball?
Well, I started playing baseball. I played baseball. I started in T-ball, you know, started in T-ball 4 or 5 years old. And then I continued on through middle school, high school, and, you know, in high school. You know, in high school is when I, you know, discovered music, but I was 17. But up until that time, you know, my whole thing was I was basically, like, baseball was the thing. I was going to do baseball. Like, baseball is what I loved, and it's what I wanted to do, and I wanted to play professionally. And when I got to high school, I had a lot of attention, you know, from colleges that wanted, you know, that were recruiting me for baseball. But during that time is when I discovered music, you know, and I was faced, you know, I had to make a decision, you know, and I chose music. And it's made me happy ever since, you know.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. I don't think many realize how special it is to sort of discover what it is that speaks to your heart, something that you would do for free if you had the chance at such an early age, because many people don't find that later in life.
You're right. Yeah, it's definitely you want to do something that you love, and you want to do something that isn't work to you. And if you don't do something that you love, then a lot of times, more often than not, it's always going to be work. But it's very refreshing to do something that you love to do on a regular basis and make a living doing it, you know?
Exactly. So how many instruments do you play?
I don't know. I play a few. Bass, keys, drums, piano, organ, saxophone, I already told you. So, you know, I play a couple of different instruments.
Do you play the bass?
5 or 6, something like that. Yeah, I play bass too, guitar. I'll be forgetting. I think like 5 or 6 or something like that. You know, I basically as a producer, you kind of want to be able to, you don't want to be boxed in. You don't want to have to wait on anybody. So at any given time, if I'm, you know, making music or making a song, I don't want to have to wait to call a guitar player or a bass player or anything like that. So I'll just do it myself. You know, I'll pick up an instrument, learn it myself, and do what I need done, and I'll be good to go. You know what I mean?
I understand exactly. Do you know how to play the bagpipes?
I've never played the bagpipes.
If you could play the bagpipes, then I would be impressed. I'm just saying. But I'm teasing, completely teasing people. I love Justin. I love his character on Mary Mary. Just teasing him. Don't send me hate mail, please. I completely forgot my next question. Oh, so where are you now? You're on tour?
Yes, right now I'm on the road with Eddie James, CCM artist, and I am music director for Joy and Rosario, Conjury. She's here in Atlanta, and Eddie James is actually relocating to Atlanta, so it actually works out pretty well, you know, that I already live here. I live in Marietta, so, you know, doing that and just, you know, always working on production. I, you know, just did 2 albums last year, Naomi Cross and April Christina. Check them out. And, you know, always looking to, you know, work with new people and just get better at what I do. You know what I mean?
Completely. So those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Real Talk Radio. Your host, Kay Sherrell, and I'm on the air with Justin A. Moore, music producer and just gentleman extraordinary in my book. So musically, who influences you?
You know, I have a lot of musical influences. I think early on, I think it was, you know, my mom actually plays the piano. And my uncle was a, you know, music producer and musician, and he played, you know, multiple instruments. And that was when I saw people playing, you know, multiple instruments and producing music, and that was one of my first influences and exposure to music in that way. And then, you know, later on, you know, in school I studied jazz. I started getting into production, and, you know, I really like Ronnie Jerkins. I like Timbaland. I like Michael Cox. You know, just different people and a whole bunch of different jazz musicians. Like, you know, my musical influences aren't, you know, they're just so diverse and so versatile, and they're not really boxed in like that. And I think it kind of allows me to, you know, be more versatile in the music that I do.
Exactly. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Love it. So let me ask you this. We're going to switch a little bit to your little personal life, because that is 100% of all of the questions that I received about this interview.
Right.
Are you and Gugu still together?
Yes, me and Gugu are still together. We've been dating a little bit over a year now, and we're still together.
I love that. Your whole tone changed when you started talking about that. I love it. It's almost like I feel like you're smiling when you answer that question. Your tone completely changed.
Maybe,
I love
maybe
it.
Maybe I was. No.
Yeah, maybe you was. I love that. Now, when me and my husband watch the show, which he claims he doesn't watch the show, he just happens to be sitting there looking at the TV when I'm watching it, and
right.
they do this whole Facebook thing, we both cracked up about it, about the whole thing. Like, who finds somebody on Facebook and just hee-hee and laughed about it, because I met my husband on Facebook.
Did you really?
I really did. He was stalking me on Facebook. It's so funny. He sent me a message, and I replied, and then he owned up to the fact that the message was a lie. He just wanted to talk to me. And, had a long-distance relationship. I was in Atlanta. He was here in Kentucky. We had a long-distance relationship for about a year. Then I moved to Kentucky, to the sticks, out of love. And we got married about 4 months after I moved up here, and happily married, have a son. So I don't know why there are so many naysayers and people who act like they never went out with somebody they met online. Funny to me.
You're absolutely right. And there are a lot of those and a lot of people who, you know, just, you know, it's like they always look for something negative. Like, their whole purpose in life is to find negativity and just shout it from the mountaintops. And, you know, those kind of people that I try to stay away from. And, you know, those people, I don't think it's hard to go far in life when you're like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So, how much of what we see on TV when it comes to the way Tina and Erica and Warren feel about you is actually true, and how much of it is creative editing, placing comments that they answered about something else in another place? Do you feel like they dislike you?
No, not at all. I don't think they dislike me at all. I think, you know, I think they're doing the family thing. Like, they're doing what most families, big sisters or brother-in-laws do, and just trying to look out for her and being protective and just, you know, all of those things. And obviously that's where the editing comes in. That's where, you know, the producers are professionals at, you know, making reality shows and making things more than what they are. So, you know, they don't hate me. You know, I was out there, you know, during Christmas watching the show at Erica's house. Like, it was kind of awkward because it was funny because, you know, a lot of the stuff, it's the first time I see it, you know what I mean? Like, it's the first time that I see what they said in the interviews. But, yeah, they don't hate me. They don't dislike me. They're just doing what big sisters and what families do when, you know, someone they love has an interest and they just want to make sure the person has their best interest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Why did you poke me?
Huh?
Why did you poke Mitch?
Well, I didn't poke Mitch. I put my hand on. Mitch had something on his shoulder, and I was just getting it off. He had something on his shoulder. I was getting it off, and
he had some hater stuff.
Huh?
He had He had some hater dust on his shoulder. You was trying to brush
it
off.
Yeah, he did. Exactly. I was trying to brush it off his shoulders, and I just, you know, look, I love Mitch. You know, Mitch, I don't have any ill feelings towards Mitch, and yeah.
He seems a little high strung, but I don't know. But let's talk about your bae, your boo, Goo Goo. I love Goo Goo's fashion. Always styling whenever I see her on television. I've looked at some other photos and things of her online. She is stylish. I'm loving it.
Well, thank you. I'm sure she will be, very elated to hear you say that and that you think so. Yeah, because that's what she does. You know, she kind of put emphasis on that. It's like, you know, she's going to be a stylist. She can't, you know, go out looking any kind of way. Because, you know, it's like how convincing can you be being a stylist but you out, you know, looking out any kind of way?
Exactly. Did you know who she was when y'all started interacting on Facebook? Did you know she was, you know, Mary?
I didn't have a clue at all. It's so crazy. You know, because, I mean, she looks a lot like him, but I didn't have a clue at all. We had, like, some mutual friends, a lot of, you know, whom were, like, musicians and producers and, you know, people like that, because she used to sing background. So, you know, I saw her on a picture. She made a comment on one. And, you know, I kind of said something back, you know, something smart back. And, you know, we kind of started going from there. And it was just, you know, we chit-chatting on Facebook, whatever, whatever. And next thing you know, bam, here it is.
Next thing you know, you're in love.
Right.
That is a great Lifetime movie. Y'all need to pitch that to Lifetime. I'm loving it. It'd be a great movie.
Lifetime movie.
So let me ask you this. Tell me something. Tell all the listeners something that they would not know about you by simply watching you on the show or simply going to reading your bio.
I'm a nice guy. I really am a nice guy. I'm really not a jerk. You know, I'm a down home country bumpkin, southern gentleman. You know, mama's boy. And, you know, I guess from the show you wouldn't see that because you don't really get a chance to see me in interviews. You don't get a chance to talk to me personally. All they see is the interactions I have with Mitch or the interactions I have with, you know, whomever. And then Mitch and Eric and Tina get a chance to more or less vent during their interview. So it kind of, you know, everybody's opinion, it's their show. So at the end of the day, their opinion is kind of going to dictate the opinion that I think a lot of viewers will probably have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. And people need to remember that it's a show. It's a television show.
Mm-hmm. Right, it is. It is. You have to understand that. But I think a lot of people don't really understand how that works and what that means. You know what I mean? Like, they take everything like it's like, oh, well, I saw this on this, and this must be this.
Yeah, exactly. Do people come up to you on the street and, like, want to say to you about your relationship because they've seen you on TV?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, some people, I've been out at the mall at different restaurants and people recognize me, and, you know, it's always funny because, you know, some people, it's crazy because you don't know who does and who doesn't. Like, you can, a lot of times I can tell, you know, if somebody is looking and trying to figure out if it's me, like, it'll be kind of awkward because sometimes they'll start having Mary conversations just randomly out loud as if I am supposed to, like, volunteer and be like, yeah, that's me on the show. Like, you know, you saying Mary really loud isn't a way to get my attention. You know what I mean? And then some people won't say anything. Like, you know, I've had a conversation with some people and we've been talking and then, you know, it might have came up later to where they mentioned something and I said something and they were like, oh, okay, yeah, I thought that was you. I wasn't going to say anything. So it kind of depends. And, you know, sometimes people want to take pictures and stuff, which that's pretty cool. I can get used to that, I guess.
You get used to that. I'm like, give out those autographs. I pass them a seat or something. They're like, yeah, that's me on Mary Mary. Go ahead and listen to my music.
You're silly. That's the way to do it.
Exactly. So what do you have to say to the listeners? Because this is my last question about it because I've had people actually sending me texts and emails as we're speaking.
Okay.
That feel like you are meddling in family business.
You said what? Ask the question again.
I say, what do you have to say to people who feel like you are simply meddling in family business?
what do I have to say to people who feel like, you know, I stay in your own business. Like, if you feel like I'm meddling in family business, you're probably meddling in my business. The only way you know that I'm meddling in family business is because you're watching this show and meddling in my business. So if they feel like, you know, I'm out of line, out of place, pray for me and turn to another show. Watch, like, Love & Hip Hop or, you know, Basketball Wives or something like that. Don't watch Mary Mary.
I love it. I'm laughing. I'm dying laughing. So you've done a lot of producing. You produced, you know, several artists and had, mm-hmm. you know, several CDs and things out. Will we get to hear some Justin A. Moore music soon?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I actually, you know, I am my thing, you know, I really wanted to do something right out of college to kind of, you know, introduce myself to the world, if you will. But I got so wrapped up in what everybody else is doing. Like, you know, it's kind of like one of those things to where I got me, and I'm going to work on my project sooner or later. It's just a matter of, like, I had this one person come to me, and they needed this, so I did that. And then from there, like, while I was working on that project, another person came to me and needed a project. So my stuff got pushed to the back burner. Which I don't mind because, you know, I got to get it while the getting is good. So, you know, how the whole industry works, you got to get it in while you're hot and while you have a platform and while, you know, stuff is going on. So I just, you know, I'm trying to make it do what it do. So, yeah, Justin E. Moore is going to have some stuff come out. I think it's going to surprise some people because a lot of people don't really know that I do a little singing, that I do a little crooning myself. So,
I hope we get to hear it soon. I would love to hear some of your own personal work, songs that you've written, and do a little singing and all of that stuff. I would love to hear it. So when it's all said and done and your time on this earth is over, what would you like to be remembered as? What do you want your legacy to be?
I want to be somebody who you know, I think everybody wants to make an impact. Everybody wants to leave a legacy. Everybody wants to, you know, leave a remembrance of themselves. But, you know, I like to help people. Like, you know, my whole thing is, you know, a lot of people have dreams of being rich and famous. I'm good on the famous part. If I'm rich, that's great. I'll take rich. And, you know, I heard Rick Warren once say that it's, you know, he was like, it's not a sin to live rich, but it's a sin to die rich. And I kind of, it immediately grabbed me because my thing is, you can't, like, people who get super rich and you're old and decrepit and but you're not doing anything to help the community or you're not doing anything to help anybody else less fortunate than you. You're not a philanthropist. You're not into altruism. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of those things are important to me. So I don't want to be rich just to live in a huge house and drive fancy cars. I want to be rich so I can help people, so I can. You know what I mean? So I can just make somebody else's life who's less fortunate than me better.
100%. I understand exactly what you're saying. Those of you who are still listening, this is Real Talk Radio. I've had to Justin A. Moore on the show. It has been a wonderful, wonderful time. And unfortunately, time is quickly leaving me. So before the show ends, Justin, my very last question to you.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to the Super Bowl?
Oh, ATL, Falcons all day, baby. Ray Lewis is my man. That's my dude. You know, his last year, you got to love Ray because Ray been putting in work for a while. He's been a great player to watch, great athlete. He seems like a great person. And he plays hard, and I respect that. And I want Ray to win one, but I got to see ATL Falcons do this year. Like, I got to. You know, I'm representing ATL. I live in the A now. This is my home now. So I want to see Atlanta do it. So I think it's gonna be Atlanta and the Patriots, honestly.
Atlanta and the Patriots,
yep.
Yeah, I'm thinking more along the lines it's probably going to be 49ers
and the Ravens, right?
Yep, 49ers and the Ravens. I'm sorry, I want Ray to get him one more before he leaves. I want him to go out with a bang. But if the Falcons or the Ravens end up in it, I will be. So,
yeah,
So I'm cool with that, but I love it.
Me too.
So right now, Justin, tell everyone where they can find out more information on you, your work, Twitter, Facebook, all of that information.
Well, you can check out my work at my website is super old, but I'm going to give it to y'all anyway. We're getting it updated. We're working on that. I'm working on that with my agent and everything. We're going to get that updated. But you can check me out at JustinAmore.com. You can check me out on Twitter at Justin A. Moore and Facebook, Facebook.com/JustinAmoreMusic. So, hit me up, like my page, subscribe to YouTube and all that stuff, and hopefully I can keep cranking out some good music and, you know, and can touch people's lives, you know.
100%. Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've had so much fun,
Thank you for having me.
Well, you enjoy the rest of your evening.
All righty, then. You too. And stay warm. It's cold out there.
Yes, it's very cold where I am. Very.
Yes, here in Atlanta, too. But all right, then. It's good talking to you. I'll see you.
All right. Bye. Those of you who are still listening, this is Real Talk Radio. It's your host, Kay Sherrill. And unfortunately, our time is gone. I don't know where it went. I'm so sad about this. Our time has left us. But please join me next week because I will have on air me none other than poet extraordinaire Reginald Sweet, also known as PM or Poetic Minds. He will join me on the air next week. I've had so much fun. I've missed you immensely, and I'm missing you already, even though I'm still here. So, everyone, you take care of each other and take care of yourself. Much love, kisses, next week.